Welcome to The Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z. Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of The Fade Route with D and Z. I am Z, and I hope that our American friends and fans had a wonderful Thanksgiving Day. And for our international friends and fans, I hope you had an awesome Thursday. I'm still digesting yesterday's games, and they were two one-sided affairs. I am thankful that we had some good football yesterday. You know, we had some good offense, had some good food, good times with friends and family if you are celebrating responsibly. And I'm also thankful for the Chicago Bears and the New York Jets. They are the gift that keeps on giving all year long. For those of you not in the know, Mitchell Trubisky will be back under center this weekend for the Chicago Bears as Nick Foles is still hurting. And Sam Darnold will be back in the starting lineup for the New York Jets against the Miami Dolphins this weekend. 0-16, here we come. And here he is. I've known this guy since our days on Carousel Shoes Flight Crew through and through the last QB in St. John's history. What's up, D? How's it going? How's your Thanksgiving?
Great Thanksgiving. I am thankful for the soap opera that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Bruce Arians and Tom Brady.
Not again. Why do you do this to me? Why do you do this to me? What is going on in Tampa Bay this week? What beef is there? What chemistry issue is it? What did Antonio Brown throw in the locker room and shatter this week? And, you know, are Rojo and Leonard Fournette closer to having a steel cage match for the starting job or what?
It's just more Arians throwing more shade at Tom Brady for not being able to read defenses correctly. Apparently, the six-time Super Bowl champion has forgot his calling card as a signal caller and can no longer read defenses correctly. So that's why he's connecting on the deep ball in practice, but he can't connect on the deep ball in the game. That is the conundrum that is the Bruce Arians offense.
That is interesting. You know, funny how that is, that guys can make the throws in practice, but you know, when you actually get into a game and you have another team on the other side that's trying to rip your quarterback's head off, you know, rolling right and then chucking it back left doesn't work. Surprise, surprise. You know, to quote a famous man, we talk about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
I mean, Bruce Arians is really starting to remind me a lot of Rex Ryan. I remember when Rex Ryan was in New York, he was going to run his 4-6 bear, whether he had Darrell Revis or Bart Scott running linebacker. It didn't matter. That was his defense. He was going to run it, whether you liked it or not. And it seems like Bruce Arians is doing the same thing. He wants to be able to throw bombs every game, even though he's got a quarterback that's made his living off of dinking and dunking passes and working his way downfield to win championships.
It is very interesting. It is very interesting that Bruce Arians has never really had this issue before where he's had to ego bust a superstar quarterback. I mean, he's coached Andrew Luck, he coached Ben Roethlisberger, and he never seemed to have issues, you know? But now all of a sudden, Tom Brady comes into the fold, and he's not getting it. He's just not doing it right. He's missing reads. I find that very interesting that the other two times with the superstar quarterback that Bruce Arians can make it work, but this guy, this is the straw that breaks his back.
The one thing I will say is, you know, Andrew Luck and Ben Roethlisberger definitely had a bigger arm than Tom Brady. But, you know, you have to play to the strength of your team. Rojo has proven this year that he can run the football. They went out and signed Leonard Fournette. He's a powerhouse. You got a top five defense. You got to play to your strength. You don't need to hang 40 on everybody like you do the Panthers. And you're not going to go and outscore the Kansas City Chiefs. We can get into that later, but someone's got to bend here. And to Brady's credit, he's taking the blame. He's saying it's on me. He needs to be better. But this also might be Tom trying to prove, hey, listen, you know, I'm not just a dink and dunk passer. I can complete the deep ball. Maybe this trip down to Tampa is what this was all about, to show that he could be a quarterback, you know, that can get the ball downfield. His throws of 20 yards or more, he's 18 for 60 with 3 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. That's awful. Even the year when he had Randy Moss, they weren't throwing bombs every down.
No.
So, you know, we'll see where this leads.
When you look at those long distance numbers, and they are very reminiscent of the man that he replaced, it's very similar to Jameis Winston numbers, and it really makes you wonder, and we'll get to that later, about if Jameis Winston could have done a better job with this particular group of guys and this particular style of offense. It's time for the fade-in, where we give a nod to the trending sports stories of the week. But we're going to talk about, since we already invoked the name of the Pittsburgh Steelers, let's talk about the game that wasn't. They were supposed to play the Baltimore Ravens on Thursday to cap off the Thanksgiving festivities in the main event game at 8 o'clock. Unfortunately, COVID has run through the Ravens like crap through a goose. And Mark Ingram is out. Dobbins is out. Lamar Jackson is out. A coach is out. I think you said the lunch lady's out. You know, it's getting to the point where they had to postpone from Thursday to Sunday, and they're still so unsure that they now moved it from Sunday to Tuesday.
Tuesday night football.
Which impact? Are you ready for some football on Tuesday? That also impacts Thursday, because the Ravens were supposed to play the Cowboys. So that's probably not happening, unless miraculously you can play on 2 days rest, which, you know, you kind of can't. So that's masking the deeper issues of the Ravens, who, although they are 6-4, they look like crap right now. And it really makes you wonder if they will make the playoffs. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely an issue with the offense, and some of it can be due to Marshall Yonder's retirement. He was one of the best offensive linemen on that team. And the other can be the way they're using Hollywood Brown. I don't really agree with, you know, he's running out patterns, he's running some seam routes, but he's not blowing the tops off of defenses like he was last year. It doesn't seem like teams are either afraid of his speed or they're ready for his speed. The estimated points added per passing is set 27th in the league. The Jets are right behind them. You don't want to be mentioned in the same sentence as COVID.
No. Not if you have any serious aspirations whatsoever.
Right. And it's also, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's kind of looking like drafting Dobbins was a mistake. They might have been better off drafting another interior lineman to help that run game. I think they did draft maybe one or two linemen, but they're not ranked. They're not. I don't think they're working out to the ability that they thought they were going to. And a lot of teams are taking the ball out of Lamar's hand, you know, on the read options. What they're doing is they're forcing Lamar to give the ball. You know, teams are much more willing to deal with Dobbins, Gus Edwards, and Mark Ingram than letting Lamar Jackson run wild all over the place where you don't know what he's going to do. We don't know if he's going to throw it. We don't know if he's going to do some spectacular play or go 40 yards for a touchdown. And he's also seems a lot more frantic when he gets blitzed. You know, right away he's looking to run. Or he's not doing his progressions. He's kind of got happy feet back there. So they're not handling the blitz well. And, you know, for all these reasons, I actually don't think they're going to make the playoffs. It's just too competitive in the AFC this year.
It certainly doesn't look good right now. And for one, in addition to Marshall Yanda, I think that losing Hayden Hurst actually is a big loss for them, considering the fact that the tight end position is such a big part of their offense. If you look back, you had Max Williams, you had Hurst, you have Andrews, and now you're really only down to Andrews, and he doesn't play every down. He doesn't even start most games, and you really need a complementary player on the opposite side of Hollywood Brown. I mean, it's great. I mean, he is a very good player. He's got speed, but you definitely, you know, you can take him out of the game and you can make Lamar Jackson try and beat you another way. And, you know, he's losing. He's not going through his progressions properly, or he's just not reading and seeing the field well. And, you know, he's paying for it right now because he's making bad decisions or he's just taking off. It's, you know, very much like Daniel Jones, and you don't want to be compared to Daniel Jones. In the same way you don't want to be compared to the Jets, you don't want to be compared to Daniel Jones as a quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know if they really thought that Dez Bryant was going to fix their wide receiver issue. They're almost dead last in the league in passing, but, you know, for that reason, I don't have them making the playoffs, and really, my playoff picture has changed since we talked about it in the beginning of the season.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we did, as you know, a part of our way too early playoff predictions, we absolutely, you know, made some mistakes. And let's, since we're talking about the AFC, we'll start with them. For me, number one, clearly right now, since they are the only undefeated team left, Pittsburgh has to be the class of the conference just on that alone. Number two is Kansas City. You know, they've been rolling teams except for the Raiders that one time. But, you know, they have not missed a beat, and having Edwards-Helaire has proven to be a great addition. And even Le'Veon Bell got in on it last week. So they're diversifying their offense a little bit. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to do as much as he had to do last year. For me, Indianapolis is going to take the other division instead of Tennessee. It's going to be close. It's going to be a fight. They play each other this weekend. But, you know, Indianapolis is the number one defense in the league, and Frank Reich always seems to have a plan. Very good coach, possibly the coach of the year. I mean, we'll see where that goes. And AFC East, it's definitely a toss-up for me. It's, you know, Miami or Buffalo. Right now, Buffalo's in that position. But, you know, they're still an unproven commodity, and, you know, Josh Allen has to prove that he can be the quarterback that everybody expects him to be. As far as my three wild cards, because we do have an expanded wild card this year, Tennessee, they're going to be my number one wild card because I don't see them winning the division over the Colts. I have Miami in that second slot just because they're losing out the Buffalo Bills. And this may shock you.
Say it. Say it. What do you mean? Say it.
Don't make me say it. I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it.
Say it.
No. The Cleveland Browns, all right? You happy? Are you guys happy? The Cleveland Browns are the third wild card team. They're playing too well right now.
That's because you saw one of those progressive commercials.
This is not Baker Mayfield's mouth on Baker Mayfield's body.
You saw him deep fry a turkey. Oh, you were in on it.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. And we're going to do a little Joe Lenardi here. Last two out. I got the Las Vegas Raiders and the Baltimore Ravens. I agree with you. The Ravens are not going anywhere, and they're going nowhere fast right now. They definitely need to have some major offensive upgrades this offseason to get Lamar Jackson back to where he was.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on the division winners. I got Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Indy, and Buffalo. Differ a little bit on the wild card. I have Tennessee and Vegas, and also Cleveland. So really just one difference there. And the people I have on the outside is Miami, New England, and of course, I already told you I'm not into Baltimore. Cleveland, it really just comes down to, you know, they're 7-3, and yeah, they're able to run the football with two different backs. They play decent defense. I'm not saying they're going to go far, but they're definitely capable of making this wild card.
Kevin Stefanski definitely looks like he has a game plan. He has an idea of what he wants to do. And, you know, that a lot of that involves making sure that Baker Mayfield doesn't screw it up. And that is definitely important. You know, turn around.
Right.
Hand it off to Kareem Hunt. Don't screw it up.
Give it to Kareem. Hand the ball to him. Throw it to him. Just get the ball to Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb. Yep. And, you know, if we get from behind, we'll figure it out.
Yeah. And, you know, and they have a very underrated defense as well. So, you know, they are building. And let's be real. When you suck for as long as the Cleveland Browns have sucked, you got to eventually get good. You know? But it's just the law of averages. Eventually,
that's just math. That's just basic math, yes, right?
Right, exactly. Eventually, the good catches up to the suck. And, this is just a good year for them. Who knows? They could turn around and suck again next year. But as of right now, congratulations, Browns fans. You have a playoff team.
And they got you to talk about them.
Yes, and they got me to talk about it. And they got me to praise them. So good for you guys. Moving on to the NFC, another guy that I owe an apology to is Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry. I picked you guys to finish last in the beginning of the year in our way too early picks. You know, MVS, I apologize to you, even though you fumbled away the game last week. You're having a heck of a year. You're not as trash as I thought you were.
Trash?
Trash. Not as trash as I thought he was. He's better than I thought. And I apologize to Coach LaFleur. You're not a loser, LaFleur. So Green Bay Packer fans, you will love this. Have some cheese because you guys are my number one seed in the NFC, followed by the New Orleans Saints. You know, I like what they're doing right now. Tampa Bay cannot catch them for the division lead unless they go in a complete tailspin and, like, lose out the rest of the season, which they will not do. Taysom Hill definitely provides them with something that Drew Brees doesn't and gives you a little bit of unpredictability.
He's dynamic.
That's a great way to describe him. And you know what? He's built like a friggin' linebacker, too, so that certainly helps. So he's going to give punishment as well as take punishment. And for the third-place team, I got the Los Angeles Rams. Now, for the loyal listeners of this show, you know that I picked the Seattle Seahawks to not only get to the Super Bowl, but to win it. But as of right now, they aren't winning jack. It is going to be very difficult for them to get that far. The Rams are humming on all cylinders right now. And as of right now, they are the best team in that division. That leaves the NFC East. The NFC East is a group of mediocre teams that have the luxury of hosting a playoff game, most likely against Tampa Bay. That being said, I like what I've seen from Alex Smith. Antonio Gibson is turning into a very good running back. Terry McLaurin, class act, great wide receiver for them. A good number, maybe not a number one, but still very good. You have, Chase Young is doing great things on their defensive line. Their front seven gets after the quarterback. And it's a feel-good story with Alex Smith. And you know what? It's not just a feel-good story. The guy's actually playing pretty well, all things considered. So the football team, you guys are going to be my division winners in the NFC East. Congratulations.
Somebody's got to win it.
Exactly. It's like that year when the Seahawks, had a losing record and still won that division because it was so mediocre. But, that year, I think 7-9 won it. 7-9, I don't even know if these teams will get to 7-9. I mean, we're going to see about that. But for my three wild card teams right now, Tampa Bay, you can't deny it. I mean, as much as I hate talking about them, their talent is undeniable. And you figure the cream will eventually rise to the top. And, they eventually need to gel. Like, it's just a law. Again, the law of averages. Good teams will eventually come together. And I have three playoff teams coming from the NFC West. You can really flip-flop Arizona and Seattle for the last two spots. I have Seattle and then Arizona as my final wildcard team. But it wouldn't surprise me if it was Arizona and Seattle. But three teams are coming out of the NFC West because that division is loaded. My last two out, Joe Lenardi style, last two out, the New York Giants. They are playing very well right now, but I don't think they have enough this year to win the division from Washington. A couple more players, maybe a healthy Saquon Barkley, and that'll get them over the top. But they got a coach. As of right now, they have a semi-decent quarterback, and they're playing really well. And for me, the second team out, the Carolina Panthers. They're winning without Bridgewater. They're winning without Christian McCaffrey. They hung 20 and they shut out the Detroit Lions. That's more of an indictment on the Lions, but they got PJ Walker playing great. It really speaks to the culture that Matt Rhule is creating down there. And Robbie Anderson, he's balling out. He's having a hell of a year. So, you know, I like what they're building down there, and they're just going to, you know, they're just going to be on the outside looking in my opinion.
Yeah, so we're very close in our picks. Right now, I see New Orleans taking that one seed, especially if Taysom Hill is able to just, you know, keep running the offense, not turning over the football and being as dynamic as he is. I got the Rams at two. Their defense, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, your studs. Surprisingly, I really do believe this. I'm sticking with my Minnesota pick for the championship game. So I have them taking the division, Green Bay taking the wild card, sticking with the Washington football team to win the division in the East. Again, it has to do with their defense. They're number five overall. They're number six against the pass. They run the football. They are turning it over, but that's more of Alex Smith. He's got some rust on him. I think they'll get better with that. TB12 is going to stay at five. It's hard for me to see them not make the playoffs. That would be just a disaster.
That's fire everybody. At that point, Arians, you're gone. Leftwich, gone. Brady, gone. Gronk, gone. Whoever's left at that point.
Whoever's holding the sticks, gone.
Exactly. Todd Bowles.
Scorekeeper, gone.
That's it. Todd Bowles, you're the head coach again. Gone. Gone. The guy who loads the cannons, gone.
Gone. Johnny Depp, gone.
That's it.
So then I have Seattle getting that wild card spot along with Green Bay. Along with Green Bay. Yeah, so that'll be my three teams. It'd be Tampa, Seattle, and Green Bay. But, you know, we were talking about the NFC East, and it's just, you know, it's just a shit show. I really do believe the Washington football team reminds me a lot of Vegas, where, you know, we're going to play hard-nosed defense, we're going to run the ball, and then at times we're either going to do some trickery or we're going to try to throw it over the top of you. And that's old school. Like, they're making up for not having top-of-the-line caliber players. You know, Riverboat Ron, he's a Hall of Fame coach, and he's got them playing amazing right now. Gibson yesterday broke the record for a rookie touchdowns in a Thanksgiving game. Like, you know, in the beginning of the season, we weren't talking about Antonio Gibson. Logan Thomas has been playing great at tight end. They're the team. I find it hard to believe any of the other teams in the East are going to be able to overtake them. Wentz is throwing interceptions. He can't be trusted. Danny Dimes, he's another turnover machine. Their Giants defense is playing well, but they lack the stars. They lack the person that's going to bring them back to win a game or keep them in a game. And then with Dallas, I can't explain Dallas. You know, they have a top 10 offense. They have weapons all over the place. So what if it's Andy Dalton? It's Andy Dalton. He can still whip the ball around the field. CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, you got all Ezekiel Elliott, and they lose. They lose. It might be an indictment on the coach. I don't know.
It's certainly quizzical that Jason Garrett got pretty much the same group of guys. Granted, he had Dak Prescott, but Dak Prescott is, you know, a little bit better than Andy Dalton was in his prime, but Andy Dalton is still a pretty representative quarterback. You know, he's
definitely, check this guy too from TCU.
Yeah, and he's definitely, you know, if you want a quality backup, you can do worse than a 10-plus year starter. You know,
That defense. That defense.
It is so bad.
They can't, you know, keep a chain link fence from closing. Like, that's how bad they are. And it's weird because they have good players like Jalen Smith and DeMarcus Lawrence, Aldon Smith. I know, you know, he had trouble in the past, but these are good football players. They're not great, but they're good.
Yeah. Van Der Esch, Sean Lee. And you got names. You definitely have guys on this team that do.
And they're all making big money too. They didn't come cheap. They paid a lot for these guys.
That's the problem though. It's just that remember Major League? Remember what they said about Corbin Burnson? Forget about Dorn because he's only high priced. Like some of these guys, forget about him because they're only high priced. Sean Lee, when was the last time Sean Lee ever finished a season? Probably never. But you know, when he's out there, he's very good. He's a high motor linebacker.
I think he's an avid Madden player, so that's probably where he finishes his seasons.
Oh, yeah. He's part of the 99 club for injuries, for brittleness. You have 99 brittleness. Good job.
Awareness. Clutch.
Yes. You know, he's got that field vision. That's what we want. But, you know, it definitely is an indictment on both sides of the ball. They should be winning with what they have, but they're not. They're a bunch of underachievers, and they've been a bunch of underachievers for a while down in Dallas. The Eagles, we've said it before and we'll say it again, they coasted off of that Super Bowl. They have not built around Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz has not played in a very inspiring way. He plays very loose, and he plays playground ball. I mean, he's got a better arm, but he plays like Baker Mayfield. Like, that's, you know, we rip Baker Mayfield all the time for the way he plays. So it's only fair that we rip Carson Wentz for doing the exact same shit. And for the Giants, you know, full disclosure, you guys know I'm a Giant fan, but the proof is in the pudding. Watch the games. They are on the come. They're playing hard for Coach Judge. They may not have the talent, but you know what? They definitely have the want to, and that motivation, that motor, that definitely helps a lot. You know, they're
second best team in that division.
Second best team in that division, without a doubt. And if Daniel Jones could ever get his fumbling problem and his awareness problems under control, they could leap to number one. They have better offensive weapons than the Washington football team. When healthy, you match them up easily. The better team is with the New York Giants. However, I think if you put Alex Smith on the Giants, that team is not only over 500.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I got to fight you on that. There's no Chase Young on the New York Giants, man. There ain't no Scary Terry on the New York Giants. There's no Antonio Gibson on the New York Giants. I mean, you really believe that?
I do. They play a full team game, and that does matter. You know, Peppers is playing great right now. Blake Martinez is playing great right now.
He is playing very good, Blake Martinez.
Yeah, I mean, they're not flashy, but they get the job done. And I think if you just put Alex Smith's brain and Daniel Jones's body, like, that would make a difference. You know, having a veteran quarterback, and you know what? Getting rid of Eli Manning and just allowing him to retire, you know, that's proving to be something, because, you know, Eli had that veteran savvy that you could have shown Daniel Jones a little bit more of, to where he probably isn't making the stupid decisions where he's constantly not throwing the ball away. He's not going through his progressions, and he's trying to force something that isn't there. So you definitely need a little bit more of a veteran presence in that quarterback room. But, you know, like, talent for talent, I would take the Giants over the Washington football team.
Does Philly go to Jalen Hurts for these last couple of games?
Well, I would, just to see what I have. Carson Wentz, you know, honest to God, like, you know as well as I do that we expect him to be hurt by now. So, like, this is gravy at this point. He's like, I might have a chance to make through an entire season. This is awesome. But, you know, I would see what Jalen Hurts is. You know, you might have lightning in a bottle. That way you can kind of, you know, assess what you got. You invested in him. But you definitely need some help at skill position. You need some help on the offensive line. The Eagles need help everywhere right now. So, you know, it'll be fine the last three games of the season because you're not going anywhere. But it's going to be a long off season for the Eagles.
Yeah, they're going to have to figure out, because, I mean, his contract is so large, you know, you have to play him. You have to play him. I don't see how they could not play Carson Wentz. And, you know, I do believe what you're saying in that they won that Super Bowl and they're kind of like, all right, we're all good now. And it's like, well, no, you know, and their defense is good. They have a good defense, but he's got to learn what the other guys learn. If the play's not there, you got to throw it away. I've seen him take so many hits and so many shots, and he's getting a safety. The ball's getting knocked out. And it's at some point you got to wonder, is it the coaching? Like, is the coach telling him to keep the play alive? Like, anybody else would throw the ball away. It's not like he got these stud guys to throw it to either. Maybe they just need to turn around, hand it to Miles Sanders, and build off of the running game. But again, their offensive line is beat up too. I think Peters is gone for the rest of the year. I think he shattered his ankle or something crazy like that. Kelsey had to come off the field last game. I don't know if he's going to be able to play this week either.
At this point, Carson Wentz is a 5-year vet. If he has not learned by now that if it's not there, throw it away, he's never going to learn. Yeah. We're not talking about Lamar Jackson. You know, we're not talking about Daniel Jones. We're not talking about even Sam Darnold. We're talking about a guy who's in his fifth year. They were talking about MVP candidacy before he wrecked his back.
2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, before Nick Foles had to take over for him because he wrecked his back, diving head first instead of sliding. Decision-making definitely is an issue with Carson Wentz. And at this point, I mean, after 5 years, you got to kind of have to say he is who he is. You can't really coach that stuff out of him if it hasn't been coached out of him by now.
Right. He's definitely not a future Hall of Famer.
If you've ever listened to a podcast and thought to yourself, hey, I can do this, then do I have the tools for you? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. No specialty training, no specialty programs needed. Anchor will then distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. How cool is that? It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Go to anchor.fm and get started today. That's anchor.fm. What are you waiting for? Download the app.
Speaking of which, this week they announced the semifinalists for the Hall of Fame class. You know, one of the things that I took a look at, you know, I'm a harsh critic. I'm a firm believer in that there are good players and then there are great players. And there's a big difference between being a good player and being a great player. For me, the Hall of Fame is for great players. But every good player, you know, should have an opportunity to be in the Hall of Fame. But all great players go to the Hall of Fame. So, you know, I'm just curious, out of this class for you, you know, what are some of the players that you like their chances of getting in, or some of the guys that you don't think they should get in?
First and foremost, I think we need to mention the fact that Peyton Manning, Calvin Johnson, and Charles Woodson are probably locks. So I'm not even going to talk about them because, yeah, they're Peyton Manning, Megatron, and Charles Woodson. So this is really about the other 22 guys that were named semifinalists. So of those 22 guys, like, five really stand out for me, and two of them are kind of question marks. But we'll start with Zach Thomas. Zach Thomas had a hell of a career with the Dolphins. He was Mr. Dolphin, and as much as Jason Taylor was, and he was the anchor of that defense as a linebacker for so many years, and he made them who they were. John Lynch, surprisingly enough, he isn't in the Hall of Fame already. I find that John Lynch was scary good when he was in Tampa Bay. And he, you know, he definitely passes the eye test as far as a Hall of Famer. In terms of offensive linemen, offensive lineman is a hard position to kind of grade out as far as who's great. Obviously, the most, you know, obviously it's Anthony Munoz is kind of like the measuring stick for offensive linemen. But Alan Faneca had a really good career between Pittsburgh and the New York Jets. I mean, Faneca, I mean, he was solid, you know, as a member of that line with the DeBrickashaw Ferguson and Nick Mangold, and he was definitely an anchor of that team. And as far as skill position players go, you know, wideout is ultimately a dependent position because you have to wait for the quarterback to get you the ball. The ball isn't in your hand all the time, but in terms of dynamic wide receivers, you got Reggie Wayne and you got Torrey Holt. To me, those guys easily walk into Canton.
So, you know, for me, like you said, you know, Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Calvin Johnson, it's hard to argue that they are not first ballot, walking through the door with no problem.
The only one I would say you could probably argue is Calvin Johnson, just because
I thought the same
from
thing.
Playing longer, you know, from longevity and then playing on a shit team.
I thought the same thing. The only reason why I think he can get in is because he was truly dominant at his position.
Yeah.
Like, he was dominant. He dominated the games. I mean, he would jump over 6 and 7 people. But, yeah, I agree with you. A case could be made where I don't know if you should get in right away. But I do like Willie Anderson. Mm-hmm. I agree with you on Alan Faneca. Hines Ward. I mean, I think Hines Ward, the Super Bowls. He was leading the Pittsburgh Steelers in catches. Very dynamic wide receiver. Reggie Wayne. I mean, Reggie Wayne is Reggie Wayne. He after Marvin Harrison left, he took on the reins and he was the number one wide receiver for Peyton.
Yep.
They broke a lot of records together. It'd be hard to put Peyton in and not put in Reggie Wayne.
True.
But I have a lot of guys that I don't think belong there. And unfortunately, it's one of the guys you mentioned. I don't see why Jared Allen needs to go to the Hall of Fame.
Mm.
I don't see why Eric Allen needs to go to the Hall of Fame. I don't see why Rodney Harrison needs to go to the Hall of Fame. He's a good safety. I wouldn't call him great. He was good. Very good at times.
Hard
hitter. He allowed one of the worst catches in Super Bowl history, which helped the Giants win a Super Bowl. Richard Seymour? Really? Patrick Willis? Patrick Willis is another guy, retired early.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a while for Patrick Willis, if anything.
The problem is like, where if he gets in, where are you putting him next to? You putting him next to, like, what linebacker are you comparing him to? Dip Butkus? Are you comparing him? Who's he going to go? Who's his bus going next to? Junior Seau? Like, how are we comparing these guys? Same thing with Zach Thomas. Zach Thomas is Mr. Dolphin. He led the team in tackles. That's great. He never won anything. He was undersized. He might even played a year in Dallas, but he's good. He's not great. And Fred Taylor. I love Fred Taylor. Fred Taylor was a really good running back for the Jaguars. Was he great? Was he Marshall Faulk? Was he Deion? Was he Barry Sanders? I don't see it. I don't see it. You know, that's just my opinion on that.
No, and a lot of guys are going to be victims of playing on bad teams, like Calvin Johnson. You're going to have issues like that, retiring early. But you know what? If you're that talented, it's undeniable. Like Barry Sanders. Barry Sanders retired young and
super talented, though. And he was a phenomenal college football player.
Yeah.
Like he transitioned seamlessly into the sport. But I think you have to, like, for me, and it might be different for everybody else who votes on this thing, but the Hall of Fame is for great players. Some people argue that the Hall of Fame could also be for players that change the game. Like Peyton Manning was a guy that they considered like change the game. He couldn't throw the ball the farthest and he didn't have the best spiral, but he changed the game because they didn't even huddle up for a couple of years, but they would just call plays and just say the verbiage, and Marvin Harrison wouldn't even come in the huddle and he knew what plays to run. Like that's just changing the game, you know? So it depends on how you look at the voting process, but I'm a firm believer that, you know, don't ruin the Hall of Fame. And that goes for any sport, basketball, baseball, football, hockey. I don't want good players to get in there because then that diminishes the great players. I'm really, you know, and I feel like baseball, I think, does a good job of, you know, making sure that only the best players get in. They're really trying to level out the steroid users. Like, nah, man, you know, I'm with Joe Morgan on this. Like, you know, not everybody gets to go to the Hall of Fame. It's a privilege. It's a privilege.
It is a privilege, but at the same time, it goes to show you that things can be kind of misconstrued, especially now that you have several – in baseball, it's different because, I mean, baseball, you have all these different subcommittees and things like that to the point where Harold Baines is a Hall of Famer. Harold Baines isn't a Hall of Famer. Like, I think you and I can agree on that. Harold Baines is a good hitter. They told me to forget his glove.
If you're gonna put Harold Baines in, then put Mike Mussina in.
Agreed. So they did. But that's the thing. It's just like you kind of open the door just to because you want to have more Hall of Famers and you want to have a bigger dais. You're kind of compromising the integrity of it.
Right. So, exactly. You're shooting down the people that really, really deserve to be there.
True.
And you're diminishing, you're watering down the product. You're watering it down. Like, if those steroid users ever get into the whole baseball Cooperstown, I'm never going to go. I'm not going up there because you just ruin the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as this class, I mean, some guys you can just write off the list immediately. As good as Tony Baselli was for a short period of time, he didn't do it long enough. And right, I think you can eliminate Patrick Willis for the same thing. She's like, you didn't, I get it. CTE is a very scary thing. You retired early because you wanted to avoid concussions and injury.
I respect his decision.
I respect that, but you didn't do enough.
No, I'm sorry.
No, I agree with that. But then there are some guys that, you know, like for longevity's purposes, they definitely put up good numbers and, you know, they deserve a look, at least a look. You don't have to put them in, but at least look at them. Like, if we're going to do a baseball comparison, like Rafael Palmeiro. Rafael Palmeiro played 20-something years for how many different teams? And, he was a compiler. But at the end of the day, he still had to put up those numbers, regardless of whether or not he was a compiler. So you're definitely going to look at Rafael Palmeiro. And then, granted, he was also, you know, one of the steroid guys, which further complicates the issue. But if you're just looking at the numbers and you, like, put a black bar, you redact the name, you're going to look at that player. So, you know, it definitely – some players, you know, maybe not first ballot, not first go round, but as time goes on and new writers and statisticians look at at each player, they're going to look more kindly on other people. Like on ESPN, did you see that article why everybody should be voting for Andy Pettitte to be in the Hall of Fame? Andy Pettitte was a good pitcher. I like, you know, watching the Yankees, I like Andy Pettitte. Like Andy Pettitte's a bulldog. He's a guy that you want pitching game 7 for you. The biggest game of the year, you want Andy Pettitte. Andy Pettitte's not a Hall of Famer. Sorry.
No, I didn't read that article. And I think, you know, an argument could be made that Andy Pettitte is not an Hall of Famer. But an argument can be made for him only based on his postseason numbers. He had some really phenomenal postseason numbers. But yes, I agree with the sentiment you're conveying in that notion that, you know, some people just, if you can't just get in just based on, you know, certain aspects of your career.
Right. And baseball more so than football has been guilty of doing that. So kudos to the NFL for not letting in the Bill Mazeroskis of the world.
You know? Right. Right. Right.
It's so far, it's been a pretty busy week for the NBA. Lots of moving, lots of shaking. And four teams that have been particularly busy, like two you would expect. One is just ridiculous. And the other one is, you know, I have no idea what the hell's going on. So we'll talk about the. We'll start with the ones that we expect to be busy, and those are the ones that you have: the New Orleans Pelicans and the LA Lakers. They're making some moves. I mean, LeBron is rebuilding the team around him, especially since that the Anthony Davis opt out, making things a little bit interesting. He brought in Marc Gasol, Montrezl Harrell. Caldwell Pope re-signed. They lost Rajon Rondo. So I don't know. Is this the team moving forward? Or do you see one more move coming your way from the Los Angeles Lakers?
No, I think this is the team moving forward. I think they're going to get Anthony Davis. I don't think that's, he had to opt out, obviously. But I like it. I think they're better. They're better. Look, you got Caldwell Pope, Dennis Schroeder, Wes Matthews coming off the bench, Montrezl Harrell, Markieff Morris, and Marc Gasol, who's better than Pau Gasol.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't really see anyone really, really contending with them in the West. And the West has gotten better. Teams like the Suns, the Mavericks definitely got better. But even the Trailblazers, I think, made some nice moves. But you're not going to compete with the Lakers.
No, you're not really going to compete with the Lakers. And one of the teams that has a chance to get better in the West is definitely the New Orleans Pelicans, building around Zion Williamson. They brought in George Hill. With that trade for Drew Holiday, when they sent him to Milwaukee, they're trying to build some veteran presence around him. So it doesn't have to be the Zion show all the time. And you still have Ingram. You still have Lonzo Ball. You still have.
They also added Steven Adams.
That's right. They traded for Steven Adams. So
if you're looking at this team, I like Lonzo Ball's fine. And then you have Eric Bledsoe, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And then you have Josh Hart and J.J. Redick. Oh, I'm a hate J.J. Redick, but he's a good player. He's coming off the bench. And then what I thought was a surprise move, which is I like it, was they extended Brandon Ingram 5 years, $158 million. He averages like 23, 24 points a game, but you've kind of – You've solidified your team for the next couple of years, right?
Right.
So I think they have something. They can be as good as a 5 seed. I don't see why they couldn't be a 5 seed, but they're all young too. So I like what they're doing. I like their chances. So we'll see how it gels together.
True. You do have a young core there that you're building, and they're just going to keep growing together. Ultimately, it is going to be a slog in that Western Conference because you do have so many good teams out there.
Yeah.
They could peak at a 5. Absolutely, yeah. They could peak at a 5. But anywhere between 5 and 7, I think, would be a very realistic expectation for this team.
It's got to make you happy if you're in the fan base.
Even if you're not, Zion Williamson, he is as advertised. He is the real deal. If you're a fan of basketball, you root for a guy like Zion Williamson just because he is who he says he is, and he's a hell of a player. So that's the kind of kid that you hope becomes a superstar and ascends to that next level of greatness. For as far as head scratchers, the Atlanta Hawks, they're trying to build around Trae Young, and they're getting some players. They brought in Danilo Gallinari and a few ancillary players. They brought in, and I find this one extremely interesting, especially in light of what's going on with Milwaukee. Bogdan Bogdanović passed up the opportunity to play with Giannis to go to Atlanta.
I love it.
To Atlanta.
I love it. I love what Atlanta's doing. They got Trae Young, Rondo coming off the bench, Kevin Huerter. But Cam Reddish is going to be the starting shooting guard. And Cam Reddish was voted by his peers, had the most votes of who was going to have the best career out of that 2019 class. Bogdan Bogdanović, John Collins, Clint Capella. These guys, this is a good team. This is a good team. How do you not like this team?
It's easy not to like the Atlanta Hawks because you've seen the track record of the Atlanta Hawks in all of their iterations. Like going back to Dominique Wilkins, they'll tease you with how good they are and never go anywhere.
Clint Capella is going to make a big difference there. And Bogdan Bogdanovic, it's going to, I'm telling you, they're good 4 or 5 seed. They're good. They're really good. I really like the Atlanta Hawks. I like the moves they made.
They got him. They're going to finish in 12th place. They got Bogdan Bogdanovic just to trade him to Milwaukee. Just to trade him. Just to trade him for assets. Like, that's exactly what happened. They're going to bottom out, and they're going to deal all these guys. You know it. I know it. Everybody who's listening knows it.
The last team we're going to talk about is Charlotte. Another team. I mean, I can't believe they pulled off the steal and got Gordon Hayward to go down there. You have LaMelo Ball running the point, Terry Rozier coming off the bench. Then you got Devontae Graham as your 2 guard. You got Caleb and Cody Martin. Then you have Gordon Hayward, who shoots 50% from 2 and 38% from 3. PJ Washington, Miles Bridges, who was one of the best great college player. Cody Zeller and Bismarck Biyombo. Like, that's a really good team. I don't know if it's going to translate to much, but it's a good team.
I mean, they have players, but again, does it translate to a team? Like you said, they have a lot of redundancies on their roster. That's also a problem. How many guards do you need?
Yes, yeah, which we talked about last week. Yeah,
for sure. That's and the Gordon Hayward thing, like, does he just want to be in a small market? I mean, he's from Indiana, went to school at Butler, was drafted by Utah. The Celtics thing didn't work out as planned, even though he went to go with his college coach. And maybe he's just a big fish in a small pond, you know? Like, good for him if he is. But I don't know. It's a head-scratcher as far as that decision goes. I mean, there were better fits out there, in my opinion, than Charlotte for Gordon Hayward. But what's done is done. And again, if they stink, they could just turn around and trade him. So they can get assets for him. They can get assets for any of their players, you know, since they have so many redundancies. The only one I could see them truly, like, holding on to, I mean, they'll probably want to keep Graham. They'll want to keep Ball and, you know, maybe a couple other players. But if this team isn't going anywhere, they might just, you know, move some pieces for better fits. And, you know, like, maybe, like, since the Eastern Conference is weak, like, they can make a run. Like, even if they're the drizzling shits, they could probably still get to at least the 8 seed.
It falls a lot on Gordon Hayward. He needs to be – he needs to play out of his mind because he's going to be the guy who's going to carry the team. Yeah. You can't rely on a rookie to do it. Devontae Graham's really good, but, you know, he's not the guy. They need a guy. That's the problem with this team. This team doesn't have a guy, right? Like, Atlanta has a guy.
Yeah.
Nola has a guy. The Lakers have guys. This team, the Charlotte, doesn't have the guy. So if LaMelo can prove in a couple years that he's the guy, they'll be all right.
Yeah, well, I said, yeah, superstars win, and superstars are the cornerstones of your team. And right now, I mean, they're a nice group of kids. You want to pinch their cheeks, you know?
They're like, the fat girl at the party.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, yeah, you're so cute.
You look nice.
More or less? All right, boys and girls. So we're trying a new segment this week, More or Less. We're going to put a situation out there to you or some numbers out there to you. And is it going to be more likely or less likely? Is it going to be more than that number or less than that number? Let's see what the first one is. More likely or less likely that the Lakers repeat this season?
Yeah, I'm going to go with more likely. Until I see a team in the West come in and punch them in the mouth, I don't see how they don't get all the way to the championship. And I don't see any other teams in the East that's going to really match up to them. Again, right now they don't have Anthony Davis. But I think part – and this is just mere speculation, in my opinion – is that they're trying to get Anthony Davis to take less money so that this next summer they can go get Giannis. Oh, that's what I really believe.
My God.
That's what I think is happening right
now. That's the Death Star.
And he's the guy, because he's probably like, I don't really want to take this money. Like, you know, I got my championship. I want to kind of get paid. And they're kind of like, well, we're going to go get Giannis. LeBron's going to be here for maybe two or three more years. And then it's going to be you and Giannis. And we're going to build around you guys. And then we can extend you once LeBron leaves. That's what I think. But, hey, I don't know.
I'm going to go with less likely just from the simple fact that Steph Curry is healthy and on the court. And they're building that team back up in Golden State, which you have Wiseman, and then you have Draymond. And you lost Klay Thompson, yes, but you also have Andrew Wiggins. So you have players there to surround Steph Curry, and you can, you know, you'll have a legitimate threat to the Lakers. Now, whether or not that actually comes to fruition, it remains to be seen, because like anything, health is a major factor. But that's the only team I see with a puncher's chance against the Lakers. Sorry, Clipper fans, but
the Clippers
are a waste of space. The Pelicans are 2 years away from being 2 years away. The Suns,
they're 2 years away from being 5 years away.
Right. The Suns think they're onto something with Chris Paul. They got a lot of proving to do. The Rockets are trying to trade everybody under the sun. So the Spurs, totally fell apart. So that leaves, you know, by process of elimination, that leaves the Golden State Warriors as your only real threat.
My only thing is I think a threat to them will only be if James Harden goes to the Nets, and I don't really see that happening. So as long as that doesn't happen, I think it's going to be really tough.
Oh, coming out of the East, absolutely. The only way you're going to be able to challenge the Lakers is if you build some kind of super team, and really that's the Nets or bust.
Super-duper team. All right, so more likely or less likely that the Bucks would be 7-4 with Jameis Winston?
I'm going to go with less likely because it remains to be seen if this GM would have surrounded Jameis Winston with the talent that he is surrounding Tom Brady with. Are you bringing in Antonio Brown? Are you bringing in Rob Gronkowski? Are you bringing in Leonard Fournette if Jameis Winston's your quarterback? I'm not 100% sure on that, to be honest with
you. I think he does because he has to. This is his last year, okay? This is it. Like if he's not able to win with this team, they're going to fire him. There's no way he lasts through this year. And just my answer is more likely that they would be 7-4 with Jameis Winston. And the reason I say that is because this would be his second year in the Bruce Arians offense. So he was 30 for 30 last season. So I think he would go like 30-18 or 30-19 this year. They would still score a bunch of points. The defense is going to be as good as the defense is. And he'd have Rojo tearing it up. Maybe Bruce Arians wouldn't throw the deep ball as much. And he would. He probably wouldn't have Antonio Brown. And he actually, you're right then, I guess. He wouldn't have Antonio Brown. He wouldn't have Gronkowski. But he wouldn't need Gronkowski because you have Cameron Brate. And he would have had O.J. Howard. So I would say it's more likely that the Bucks would still be 7-4 even if Jameis Winston was there.
More likely or less likely, Daniel Jones goes three consecutive games without a turnover.
I'm going to go, it is less likely. He's itching to throw it. He can't wait. In the first five or six passes, he's either going to fumble it or he's going to throw it to it. He's going to throw a pick. He can't wait. He's itching to it. He's dreaming about it. It's happening.
I'm also going less likely just for the simple fact of his track record. The kid can't hold on to the ball to save his life. Andrew Thomas.
Can't hold the cold.
Yeah. No. He tripped over his own 2 feet. The turf monster got him. Right?
Ah!
He had an 80-yard run. That was a beautiful run. It was beautiful.
But look, Bob on TV.
Right, exactly. He started out like Colin Kaepernick and ended up like Eli Manning. Like, I don't know how that happened. It was like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
But Daniel Jones, you know, the offensive line left tackle has been an issue. Andrew Thomas, I'm not saying you're a bust, but you definitely need a lot of work, son. And the Giants just fired their offensive line coach. So that makes you wonder that maybe they don't like the progressions that this line is making, especially, you know, the rookie left tackle that you put in there to protect Daniel Jones' blind side, which will lead to fumbles because you're going to get strip sacks. And with that, you know, with being pressured in the pocket, he's still not making those reads and he's still not going through his progressions because he's still in his second year. He's not that level of quarterback. He may get there. He may not get there. But right now, it is extremely likely that he is going to throw a pick in the first half of his game. He might throw the first series.
I said the first six passes. Don't try to beat me.
Well, first six passes, like who knows how long that's going to be? We really can't tell. So, you know, it's going to happen. It's a question of when. Time to see what's cooking this weekend, sponsored by As You Eat It, only on YouTube. That's AZ, You Eat It. Check it out today.
All right, time for our pick segment. I have to issue a formal apology to one of our fans, Regina, in Farmingdale, New York, who used my picks last weekend in her betting pool, and I went 4-10, and I really ruined it for her. So, Regina, I just want to say I'm sorry, and I will do much better this week.
It was not a good week for either one of us. I only won 7 games last week, but like it was bad, you know. Yeah. But you know, kudos to the teams for showing up. You can't really predict injury, so like the you know the Washington
or terrible
Bengals
quarterback
game
play for that matter.
Yeah, you can't predict that Valdez Scantling is going to fumble. Like you can't. I mean, that's the beauty of sports, you know.
That was a bad one.
That was a horrible one. But we're already. How are we doing on Thanksgiving so far? I split. I went 1-1.
Oh no, I'm 0-2 so far.
Yeah. So we got to do a better job for you guys, and we're gonna do a better job for you guys. But let's start with Miami versus the Jets. I'm taking Miami. It's not even close.
Yeah. I'm taking Miami over COVID.
Arizona versus New England.
I'm going to take the Patriots. I think they win this game.
Really? I'm taking the Cardinals on this one. You know, I think the Patriots are a little depleted. So, yeah, they haven't been looking great. Kyler Murray is going to do some things this week. Panthers at Vikings. I'm going to take the Vikings on this one.
Yeah, I'm rolling with Minnesota. Like I said, I have them winning the division, so I'm rolling with them the next couple of weeks, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Dalvin Cook, you can't argue with Dalvin
the MVP.
Cook. 100%. Browns at Jaguars.
This has all the makings of an upset, doesn't it? But I'm going to stick with Cleveland.
I'm going with Cleveland, too, but I was itch. My trigger finger was itching to take the Jaguars.
I think Glennon's
Jaguars.
Playing quarterback this weekend.
Oh, my God. Oh, God, Mike Glennon. Like, why? Why are you even wasting your time? Just have Jackson DeVille do it. Oh, my goodness. But this, you're absolutely right. This is the kind of game that feels like the Browns would lose because the Browns always lose it. But not this time, Cleveland. Tennessee at Indianapolis.
I got Tennessee.
I'm taking Tennessee as well. I think Derrick Henry is going to have a hell of a game. And, yeah, the Colts they have a trouble stopping him. So,
well, it's a division game. You know, it's hard to sweep those.
Yeah, it's hard. It's definitely hard to sweep those. So, you know, the Titans, you know, they're gonna, you know, do what they do. Giants and Bengals. This is a tough. I mean, the Giants have to win this game. They brought up a practice squad quarterback because the injury to Joe Burrow. Brandon Allen is getting the start, and yeah, the Bengals are too depleted. The Giants can't lose this game.
Yep, I got the Giants.
Chargers and Bills.
I'm going to take the Bills, but I think it's going to be a shootout.
This is a tough game for sure. Anthony Lynn likes to play him close and then lose him in the end.
Right, exactly.
Josh Allen likes to play it close and win it in the end. I'm taking Josh Allen and the Bills.
Yeah.
Raiders and Falcons.
Yeah, Raiders and Falcons. I'm taking the Raiders.
The Raiders are the better team. They are going to run all day with Josh Jacobs all over the Falcons defense. It's going to be a bad day in Atlanta. Niners and Rams.
Yeah, we spoke about it earlier. I think the Rams are going to roll. I think they found their niche. They were able to get the ball to Cooper Kupp last week. They're going to continue to spread the ball all over the field. And that defense is stellar. And I think they're going to take down the 49ers.
Rams are on the rise. The Niners, this is a lost season for them. Roll with the Rams. Saints and Broncos. Who are you taking?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with the Saints. I think they had a nice offense against with Taysom Hill last week, and I think they keep it up.
The Broncos are a head scratching team, just because you think they're gonna play, you know, they're gonna play down, and then all of a sudden they manage to keep it close and pull out a couple games, but the Saints are gonna roll all over them, and Drew Lock is gonna look terrible against the Saints defense. Taysom Hill's not going to have to do much, so I'm taking the Saints. Chiefs and Bucks, all the potential for game of the week.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Kansas City Chiefs. Bottom line is nobody's been able to hold Patrick Mahomes under 30 points, and I can't see the Bucks scoring more than 30 points, so I'm sticking with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, the center, I believe, for the Buccaneers – might have a career-ending neck injury, so that is definitely going to impact this game big time. Chris Jones is going to say hello to Tom Brady a few times, and I wonder if Brady's going to throw another pick six, but it remains to be seen. Either way, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him, and another game, you know, Mahomes isn't going to have to do too much. You ride Edwards-Helaire, you ride Le'Veon Bell, Chiefs are going to win this one. Bears and Packers.
I'm going to take the Packers. Mitch Trubisky starting. That's all that I need to know.
Pretty much. Unless they're going to start Jordan Love this weekend and make it a fair fight. But I don't think that's going to happen. Aaron Rodgers is going to steamroll all over this team. And it's terrible. You know, I feel bad for the defensive players on the Bears because, you know, they're trying. Like, Nagy, not so much on offense. But the defense is trying. Seahawks and Eagles.
Another easy one. If Carson Wentz is playing quarterback, I'm taking Seattle.
You got to let Russ cook a little bit, but run the damn football. Stick to what worked last week if you're Seattle. Make Carson Wentz throw the ball. Make him play from behind. That's when he makes stupid mistakes. Seahawks going to win this one. And the surprise – Tuesday night football game. We already gave you this pick last week because it was supposed to be on Thanksgiving. But just to remind you guys, Steelers and Ravens, I'm taking the Steelers on this one, especially now that COVID has riddled and ravaged the Ravens. It's a lot of R's going on. But it's going to lead to an L.
Alliteration.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm taking the Steelers as well. Thanks for tuning in tonight. You can catch our podcast Friday nights on the Anchor and other podcast outlets. Until next time, stay faded, everybody.
If you want to get in on the action, we want to hear from you. Email us at faderoutemail@gmail.com with your questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it. We want to hear from you. We're on Instagram too. Slide in our DMs @FadeRoutePodcast. Get at us.